And now we say good morning to Peter Allam, who, before we get into our topic today, talking about divorce, Peter, you were in the Western Cape at the end of last week, some pretty hairy experiences, and it looks like the weather hasn't actually let up. Peter, very good morning.
Yes, good morning. Yeah, I know, crazy, the wind that came there, when they talk about the Cape Town wind, they're not playing games. Boy, we were there, had the experience of a cooler box full of goods, put down on the car park, and it just moved about 30 meters with the wind. That's how strong it was. Incredible. And the cooler box was full. Also, the vehicle that overturned the trailer and went over the edge, we must have been about 10, 15 minutes ahead of that this weekend when we came home. Anyway, that's it. It was cost me a lot in petrol driving straight into that wind as well. But it was, Cape Town is a lovely place when the wind is not there. We did have four lovely days without any wind. My little friend, the pom-pom birthday from Simpson, off we all went to Cape Town. That experience.
Oh, well, happy birthday to him, and I hope that, glad everybody got home safely.
Steve Taylor, happy birthday, turned the big 6-0 and invited the whole group of us to Cape Town.
Great. And today
we're going to chat about divorce. We're actually going to do it over 2 weeks, Wayne.
Okay.
There's just so much that when I, you know, did my little study on it, that I found that you can talk about. So I'm going to start first to say, what is divorce? I'm pretty sure everybody knows what a divorce is. A divorce arises out of a couple that are married legally, and then they need a court order to set aside that divorce. So if you're just living with somebody and you think you're man and wife, you don't have to proceed to obtain a divorce order. In fact, in South Africa, it's meaningless unless you have a proper contract in place. A non-marriage contract, which can be done by an attorney, which sets out what is to take place should you part. You have no right of recourse. But when you've been married correctly and it's registered, then if you part, you do need to have a proper divorce order in place at the end of the day. So let's start by saying, how long does a divorce take in South Africa? Well, it depends on what is happening. You know, some people get divorced peacefully. The two parties come to an agreement, confirm there's been an irretrievable breakdown, sign documents, and a settlement agreement normally fits in with that, and there's no hassle. That you can do, in fact, within a period of 1 month where both parties cooperate, there's no fighting, which is the right way to do it. You know, you need to, people for some unknown reason when it comes to divorce believe that it's a boxing match. It's a case of who's going to knock who out in my eyes. And that's not really what's necessary. It's so nice, and I've had a number of them in the last few weeks where people have come in and said, we just can't live together anymore. It's got to the end of the period for us to be together. We've already moved. We've parted. We've taken what we want. We've settled. Can you help us? And it's a pleasure to help people. So that is the fastest way of getting divorced, is where you chat with each other and come to terms. Realize that, you know, fighting is just going to cost money. So that there would be the most cost-effective way, is where you, before you go and see an attorney, you come to an agreement. You can work together. You go to one attorney. You sign documents, and that settlement agreement is then made an order of court. I suppose the next question is, what happens if that does not happen?
Yeah, so that's
if
when
it does not happen, you're both going to have attorneys. You can take 2, 3, 4, 5 years fighting over the settlements. Some people fight over property. Some people fight over pensions. Some people fight over maintenance. Some people fight over rehabilitative maintenance. I mean, now often don't you find where the husband has let the lady stay at home for 10, 15 years. She hasn't worked. Things go wrong and he expects her just to get out of the house with no money, no nothing, because he's for a sort of narcissist divorce that you take place with that. And we'll chat about that in one of the forthcoming weeks. So that also leads to the question, what does a divorce cost? You know, the divorce, the one where you agree and everything, is quick. You can do it in the regional court these days, and very cost-effective, not expensive at all. So where you've got a full-on fight in a divorce, then you're in for trouble. Then you're looking at high court. You're looking at, you know, fighting over maintenance, children, property, everything. And that can be very costly. In fact, at the end of the day, people spend money that could have been split between the two of them, and which is really not necessary. You know, you've grown up, you're adults, you should sit down and settle. You have a thing called mediation, and unfortunately, people don't use that. It's compulsory. Once again, people don't be realistic about what their finances are, what the status of the children is, and all that type of thing. But you can go to mediation and settle everything. Let an independent outsider listen to both of you and come up with a solution to the property, to the maintenance, to the children, to everything. And that is very cost-effective as well. You share the cost of the mediation. So if the mediator says 10,000 rand, you each pay 5 and you get a nice full mediation report out of it. But what invariably happens is that, you know, I just find with mediation that one of the two parties decides, oh, no, that's not good enough for me. And then they fight it, and they go from mediation on to a lengthy fight. And at the end of the day, they come to the court of the door and they settle on exactly what the mediator said. The mediator is independent, he's experienced, and he's looking at what the norm is in that regard. So, you know, that's where you are with divorces and the quickest way to get divorced. The third way, of course, is the ordinary divorce. So how do you apply to get a divorce in South Africa? You have to have a consultation with an attorney. Make sure that the attorney is experienced in divorces. He'll take all the information from you, draft the necessary papers, have them served on the other side. But, you know, you need to take with you a copy of your ID, your marriage certificate, the birth certificates of any minor children born from the marriage, not necessary to have any children over the age of 18, unless they're still self-dependent and at varsity or something like that. Copy of the ANC if you have it, and any other documentation that you may have. You know, some people have policies where they specifically excluded each other and things like that. So it's necessary to take whatever documents you have. The attorney will tell you that he needs all that, your proof of address, you know, the normal FICA stuff there as well to make sure, proof of residence of where your partner is and that type of thing. Once he's consulted with you, we then draw the papers. You know, we'll take instructions from the party concerned, draw the papers. And if you've got a proper divorce lawyer, he'll actually call you in, show you the papers and say, are you satisfied? This is what we're going to serve on the other party. Go through it and make sure that it's then, you know, served on the other party. A lot of times the people cooperate and agree to accept service at the sheriff, so it's not to incur necessary costs, but you, of course, get those that avoid it. They do whatever they can to duck and dive and just increase the sheriff's fee and that type of thing because he's got to go back and back and back. But that's it. The first part is to get the summons issued, get it served on the other party. Issued out of the High Court, or these days, like I said, out of the Regional Court as well, which has jurisdiction. The sheriff will serve it, and then once it's served, the spouse has a period of 10 working days to defend it. If he fails to defend it, you can immediately proceed on an undefended basis, which means that he accepts what you ask him for in the prayers in that particular summons, and the hearing date can be within 14 days on which the date is applied for normally, which is after the 10 days have expired. Uncontested divorce, the attorney will go down with you, meet you at court, prepare you with the questions, do a dress rehearsal, as we call it, beforehand, what's going to happen. You'll need evidence, and then the magistrate or the judge may ask you a couple of questions, and the divorce should be granted. There should be no reason why it's not granted. And, of course, the next thing over there is that you'll receive your divorce order, sometimes within a week, sometimes within 3 weeks. The alternative is that if they defend it, they have 10 days to file the notice of opposition, and then they have another 20 working days to repute the allegations in the summons and set out maybe a counterclaim or a special plea. To see what is what and what they want and what they don't agree with. the reply is called a plea to the defendant's claim. And then after that, the plaintiff will then have a chance to do a plea to the defendant's counterclaim as well. So it expands itself, you know, 20 days, 20 days, etc. But it normally takes quite a bit longer because people need to gather information and that type of thing, especially where you're fighting, people need to get bank records and all sorts of things. So a defendant divorce can take quite a while for that very reason. Other questions that are asked with divorces are, can I claim a portion of my spouse's pension fund? Well, yes, the law is there that you can, but it depends on how you married. If you married out of community of property without the accrual system, you've got a tough luck story coming your way. But, you know, in normal circumstances, the pension of both parties is taken into account. So you've got the pension fund to sort out as well. Mediation, we touched on that. And like I say, I do believe, you know, that it's the best way. It's rational, it's respectable, and it's an amicable way of sorting out the differences that you have. If we look at mediation a little deeper and we say, well, what are the benefits? You know, I mentioned previously, it's more affordable. It takes less time to get divorced because you have an agreement at the end of the day, like we mentioned earlier. You have more control over the divorce process that way because you're both discussing it open-minded and openly with an attorney who's experienced in that regard. So instead of working through two different attorneys, this one sticking up with that party and that one sticking up with that party, you've got a middleman who comes in and has a look at both parties and cross-questions both of them. So it allows for cooperation. It allows for better decision-making, in my opinion. And, of course, emotionally as well, it's very important, you know. So often divorces are problematic because of the emotional circumstances relating to it, the feeling of the children, which, you know, can be affected tremendously. So it's very, very necessary to try and mediate and part on an amicable basis. Not to forget that you're going to share birthdays, you're going to share marriages, you're going to share deaths where there are kids involved. You know, if you've got no children, yes, it's a clean break and you may never ever see each other again. But the minute there are children involved, you know, children are not a yo-yo, not a case of throw it down and it goes to that side. Pull the yo-yo up and spin it again and it goes to another side. You got to think of the children. You know, you only have one mom and one dad. And your children will always love that mom and dad. They'll always want to know who that mom and dad is. So, you know, so often I really find it selfish when people say your dad was the bad egg and caused our divorce and don't ever talk to him. He did this and he did that. How often doesn't it happen that the children, out of surprise, find their parents who their dad is and discover him to be an absolutely good and noble person?
Yeah.
So be careful when you poison your children on the other party. The other question that we'll deal with quite extensively in today, but what happens if I don't know where my spouse is? I mean, how often don't you hear of people where one of the two of them just gets up and leaves the husband or the wife with the children, disappears, nobody knows where they are, changes their phones, doesn't give an address. You don't know whether he's dead or alive. So, you know, can you divorce somebody when he's disappeared like that? Yes, we'll chat about that quickly to say that, you know, if you don't know where he is, there are alternative methods of service. The first thing is that when you divorce, you're supposed to have personal service on the other party. But the sheriff, if he can't find that person or if the person has disappeared or moved abroad, as happens so often these days, the position is such that you're not at a dead end. You know, your alternative methods of service are substituted service or edictal citation. So if we talk first about substituted service, it means that you don't know where he is, but you do know that he's in South Africa, still somewhere around there. Then you bring an application and you've got to tell the court why it has jurisdiction. That's where you maybe live. What was the cause? It's an irretrievable breakdown. And what attempts have you made to trace the defendant? So you'll have to get a tracing agent onto him. You'll have to get family and friends to say they have no idea where he is and all the rest of it. And then you've got to normally advertise it in the newspaper, one English, one Afrikaans. And the summons itself will also then be published in the newspaper, the full combined summons is substituted by substituted service order, which a shortened version will be published in the newspaper. So that's substituted service. So if I know that my ex is in, or my ex, my other party is in the country somewhere, say I think he's in Joburg because we last heard he was working at Joe's Soap in Johannesburg, then I just got to advertise there and sort that out, and the court will accept that. The other one is what happens when he disappears and goes overseas and that type of thing. You know, then you can do it by way of edictal citation. It's an application to the High Court again. The parties are prescribed, the cause is set out, an explanation of where he is, that he moved over to London and I don't have a fixed term address for him, or I do have a fixed address for him. It allows for it to be served in another country, in other words. So if you know where he is specifically, it gets served there and he gets a month to defend it and that. If you don't know where he is, but you know that he works in a county or in a suburb or something, you then similarly just add it to substituted service in that particular area. So personal service of the summons, if it is not possible, the court can still order the summons be served, either by way of substituted service or edictal citation. So you're not lost when something like that happens. He's in another country, yes, you can divorce him. If you don't know where he is, yes, you can divorce him. The next little topic there is, can I divorce? Can my spouse stop me from getting divorced? In the old days, yes, it was possible, but these days, no. You cannot be forced to stay in a marriage when you no longer wish to be a part of it. It is your right that you have. You're entitled to a divorce, and you can insist on the divorce. So you can institute the documents in that regard, and they can't say, I don't want to get divorced, so it's not going to go ahead. Divorce, can you do it without going to court? You get these marriages that are done and registered, and then can I handle my own divorce, or should I use a divorce lawyer? Yeah, you can do your own divorce. Let's not kid ourselves. There are a lot of people that do it. Some of them get it right, but it's always advisable to rather secure the services of a proper attorney who can handle it and make sure that you safeguard it. I mean, I was sitting in an attorney's office the other day where I heard a little, they were chatting in the room next door and the door was open and they were doing a medico-legal, and this person was telling the doctor all about what they had read on Google and what the doctor had in his report was wrong. And the doctor got up and said, well, that's it. You don't need me. You've got Dr. Google. I hope you've got a degree like me and the experience that I have. So it comes to the same thing. If you're going to try and do your own divorce, make sure that you're capable of doing it. Attorneys are there. You know, you get a plumber to fix plumbing. You can do a homemade job, but it doesn't always succeed. So, you know, get the right person to do it. The case in point is that most people should go to a reputable attorney that deals with divorces to ensure that they get the best out of it. I mean, you know, it's all things like I mentioned about the doctor. You know, you go to a barber to cut your hair. You don't just take a pair of scissors, put a box on the top and cut it around the side and say, I've got short back and side. Yeah, it doesn't work like that.
Right.
So is a do-it-yourself divorce, you know, the right thing for you? You need to really think about that. I do not think so. And not because I'm an attorney, but I think there's so many things that are left out. So many people come back and say, I got divorced in 2000. Where did you do it? I did it in the Southern Divorce Court in King Williamstown. So what's the problem now? Oh, no, there's a property that's in both our names and we never dealt with it. What now happens? You know, you don't take into account everything, unfortunately. Maintenance, it's a most important thing as well. A lot of people that do self-divorces don't know how to handle maintenance and access to the children correctly. The family advocate plays a huge role in the divorce today where there are children involved. You cannot avoid that. you cannot come to an agreement and say, we agree the children will spend 1 week here, 1 week there, etc. That is just not on. It's a definite no-no. A proper report from the family advocate is necessary. So, you know, that's basically what divorces are all about and where we're heading with them. Mm-hmm. I think that's enough for today, Wayne. We can carry on next week on part two, you know, the different types of divorce we'll deal with. We'll deal with mediation a little bit more fully. You know, the refusal to get divorced, we can go a little deeper into that. The settlement agreement, we can deal with what is added into that. So, yeah, there's a lot still to talk about, far too much to finish today.
That's it. And as you mentioned, Peter, a lot of points, you basically, in the case of a divorce, is you're basically undoing your entire life or your entire life together.
That's it, absolutely.
You know, get the right advice and get it done. Otherwise, it just lingers and drags on and on and on for years, if not decades. Obviously, looking after the children and any other parties that are involved.
Correct. Yeah, it's a lot more involved than what people think it is.
Well, and we'll tackle some of those particular points next week again. Peter, before you go, if somebody wants to reach you, maybe they are unfortunately looking at a divorce scenario or any other legal problems, how do they get in touch?
Yeah, they can like us on Facebook. Just add an S to our surname, Allam, A-L-L-A-M for Mary, S for Sugar. And other than that, they can find us at 6 Sansom Road in Vincent. Telephone 043-7211-0181.
Great. Peter, thank you very, very much. Have a great week and looking forward to part two next week, Monday.
Super. Thanks, Wayne.
Thanks, Peter. There we go. Peter Allam with today's Legal Eagle, and this chat will be on our website later on today as well.